Chapter 3. Beautiful Works. Thus left out, Filippo seemed to say, "My knowledge was not sufficient for them to entrust me with a whole undertaking. It would be a good thing to go where there is fine sculpture to observe." So he went to Rome, where at that time one could see beautiful works in public places. Vita di Brunelleschi. Bent but unbroken, Filippo Brunelleschi left his native city to search for new insight among the ruins of ancient Rome, a journey that spanned some 200 miles in the Italian countryside, yet crossed over 2 centuries in the world of the mind. Accompanied by his young friend Donatello, he began by examining sculpture, but soon turned his attention to the broken buildings of the once great city, and it was then and there that he made his fateful decision to rediscover the harmonious proportions and highly skilled building methods of the Romans, to become an architect and employ these methods and proportions in rebuilding his beloved Florence. It was a plan so daring and difficult that he could not even share it with Donatello, either because the younger man could not understand, or because Filippo himself feared he would fail. Instead, he pretended that the goal of his research was still ancient sculpture, a subject that lit the fire within Donatello's heart. The two young Florentines made drawings of almost every building in Rome and others beyond the walls. They measured widths and estimated heights of entablatures and roofs, drawing elevations on parchment graphs with numbers and symbols which Filippo alone understood. Earning money as goldsmiths, they hired porters and labourers to excavate monuments and better examine their structure. The Romans called them treasure hunters, believing they were digging for ancient silver, gold, or precious stones. But the treasure they sought was more precious than these, for it was the treasure of ancient knowledge, lost in the dark centuries that followed the fall of Rome. And it was this treasure that Filippo carried with him when he returned to Florence a new man. No longer a sculptor, but an architect, a man of such sweeping vision and original genius that he is rightly called the father of the Renaissance. So the story is told by Antonio Manetti in the Vita, to be retold by Vasari, told and retold again in many fine histories of the Renaissance. For Manetti and the